Welcome to the presentation of Grupo Sura of the results of the third quarter of 2018. My name is Anna, and I'll be your operator for today's call. Right now, all of the attendees are in listening mode. Ahead, we'll have a Q&A session. For those that are attending the English session and solely connected by web, please send your questions through the platform. Please keep in mind that this teleconference is being taped. As of now, we give the floor to Juan Carlos Gomez, the Director of Investor Relations. Good morning, and thank you for joining us for the results of Grupo Sura. I'd like to remind you that you have access to the recording of this conference in our webpage, www.gruposura.com. There, you will find the slides that we'll be following. For the attendees in the English line, on the webcast, you will find the presentation both in English and in Spanish. Likewise, we'd like to share with you that we have renovated our website with the purpose of providing you a better experience. Here, we'd like to highlight the center of resources to facilitate access to our financial information, and soon you'll find the kit of investors, which seeks to facilitate the access and analysis of historical financial information. On behalf of Grupo Sura, today we have joined with us Mr. David Bojanini, the CEO, Ricardo Jaramillo, our CFO, Juan Luis Munera, the VP of Legal Affairs, Tatiana Orozco, VP of Corporate Affairs, Luis Fernando Soto, Manager of Accounting, and through our affiliates, we have Carlos Oquendo, VP of Corporate Finance of Sura Asset Management, and Juan Fernando Uribe, VP of Finance Investments and Investments of Suramericana. Now let's give the floor to our CEO, David Bojanini. Good morning to you all, and thank you for accepting the invitation to attend this conference in which we'll be presenting the results of Grupo Sura for the third quarter of 2018. To begin, I'd like to ask you to please look at slide number five, in which we have the highlights of Grupo Sura. Firstly, we have total revenues year to date to the third quarter, which reached 14.5 billion pesos, dropping 4.3%. And this is due to strategic decisions and to external impacts, which we have discussed in previous occasions, such as the decision that Suramericana took to not participate in the bid of the provisional insurance, as well as the healthcare insurance, in which the premiums are equal to the monthly charge and not annual payments in the renovation, which at least for a period of 12 months will be displaying a decrease in production. After the 12 months, this will be equivalent, and we will go back to normal. Also, because of the sale of the annuities business in Chile, in which we have had no sales of annuities this year. However, the organic growth of every business continues in comparable terms. This is excluding these particular situations that I just mentioned. For instance, the mandatory fund of pensions grew 6.6%, which is quite good compared to the year before, while the voluntary funds displayed a growth of 15.1%, which is quite good as well. With regards to general insurance, we have retained premiums up 8.1%. In the business life, the premiums are growing 12%, excluding the provisional effect and the effect of health that I just told you about. And when it comes to mandatory health, meaning the EPFs, we have a 20.5% growth. Total expenses to date added up to 13.1 billion pesos and decreased 4.7% for lower losses, reserves, and interest. Obviously, also some of the expenses are related to the particular situations that I just mentioned, and that's why we see a this decrease as well. Therefore, the company reached by the third quarter a profit of 1.1 billion pesos, up 0.7%. The profit of the quarter was 413,588 million pesos, which compared to the third quarter of the year before is 10.2% less, mainly because of issues related to exchange and the valuation of the derivatives. From Suda Ventures, we have news that two new investments were made, and the portfolio of Suda Ventures already has 11 companies with total investments for $33 million. Also, we have made alliances with several of these companies, such as Investbot of Bank Colombia and Protección Smart, which in both cases are alliances with companies, with one of the companies of the portfolio of Suda Ventures. In acknowledgments, we can mention that for the eighth year in a row, Grupo Suda and its affiliates were part of the Dow Jones Sustainability Index, ranking third in the sector of diverse financial services in which we are grouped. I'd like to also let you know that we have the Merco rating, in which Suda ranks fourth in Colombia of the companies with the best reputation. The value of our portfolio grew at the end of the quarter to 26 billion pesos, in which the financial services companies represent 72% of this portfolio. I'd like to clarify, however, that Suda Asset Management and Suda Americana are valued in books, while the other companies are at market price since they're listed. And this value of the portfolio has a decrease compared to the end of 2017, particularly because of the fall of the prices of several of the stocks, and the decrease in equity of the company's subsidiaries, mainly because of the conversion of currency. Okay. These are the highlights that are related to Grupo Suda. Next, Ricardo Jaramillo, the CFO of the company, will provide you an explanation of the financial results. Thank you so much, David, and thank you all for coming. Let's move on to slide 6, which is the financial situation of Grupo Suda, and let's look at the assets. The assets of the company reached 68 billion, down 1.5%, mainly explained by our main assets, which are investments portfolio, which is about 39% of total assets, which decreased 0.3% mainly because of the valuations at market prices and the effects of exchange rates. The investments in associates, which represent 27% of total assets, which decreased 0.4% because of the variation of Nutresa and Protección. And the intangibles, which are 13% of total assets, which grew 6.7%, mainly related to amortizations and exchange rates. Moving on to liabilities, on slide 6, you can see that these reach 42.1% million. And our main liability are technical reserves, which is 61% of total liabilities, and these decreased 0.7%, and these are impacted because of the effects we saw before, because of the annuities and not participating in the provisional business. Moving on to the financial debt, you can see on the bottom right-hand side of slide 6, You can see the consolidated financial rate, which is at 9.1 trillion billion, so decreasing 2.6%, and the individual financial debt, which is at 4.9 trillion, decreasing 2.7. No reductions significant are seen in this quarter. However, when it comes to the individual financial debt of Grupo Sueda at dollars, it's about 21.9%. When it comes to total equity of the company, it reached 25.8 billion, up, dropping 1.6%, mainly because of the dividends given the conversion effects and the net profit year to date. Moving on to slide 7, we see the statement of the comprehensive income of Grupo Sura. And I'd like to look at total revenues. Total revenues of the company reached 14.5 billion, dropping 4.3%. And it has some effects related to what David said in the introduction, in the highlights, mainly the non-participation in the provisional business, getting out of the annuity business, and some effects in Sudamericana, and because of exchange rates. Look at the top right graph, or where you can see their earnings 2017 versus 2018. The main effect is given in the retained premiums. These reached up almost 7.9 billion. This is 55% of our revenues, and these premiums dropped because of the effects of 11.1%. Without the provisional effect, it would be minus 6.4%, and without the annuities, it would be 0.2%. So standardizing the retained premiums, they're basically flat compared to 2017. We see good dynamics in commissions, which reflects the operational part of the mandatory. We also see good dynamics in the healthcare services, which also grew. We also see an effect on revenues from investments, which we'll see ahead. When it comes to year to date, we have grown 6.1%. And it's important to keep in mind that during the third quarter, we had a positive growth of 78.4%. And we also see an increase of the participation that grew 5.5%, mainly because of the results of Bancolombia, Grupo Argos, and Protección. However, it's important also to keep in mind that the first quarter was positive. Moving at total expenses, these reached 13.1 billion pesos, dropping 4.7%, and it's a higher decrease than in revenues. And if we look at the bottom right of the slide, we can see several items we'd like to highlight. Looking at claims and reserves, which has increased 500 basic points, which is very important for the company. Also an improvement of costs over revenues in services rendered, 50 basic points. And in administrative expenses, there's an increase of 1.2%, which when we look at the administrative expenses and employee benefits, these decreased 3.3%. It comes with the non-recurrent expenses of 2017 and the focus in efficiency. And when it comes to the benefit for the employees, these increased 5.8%, which is aligned with the growth of the business and the salary increases we have. Also, when it comes to interest, as a percentage of total revenues, a decrease of 9.5%. And it's important to highlight that they were decreasing compared to 2017 at about 40,000 million pesos. Moving on to slide 8. We see the consolidated net income of the company, and here you can see that net income reached in the third quarter 1.1 billion pesos, up 0.7%, which is mainly explained, firstly, because of the change of the net profit of Sudamericana, which reached 394,000 million pesos, up 0.5%, and a very good growth in the third quarter of 33.2%, and which has been influenced because of revenues from investments on the one-hand side and the good operating profits of the business. When it comes to Suda Asset Management, earnings come are 33.9 million pesos, in which the good dynamics of the operations, the non-recurrent expenses of 2017 and lower taxes compensate the effect of the reserve, which we'll see ahead. Also, equity method has decreased slightly, and the number is quite similar to the year before. With regards to the impacts to the corporate of corporate Suda, you see in the gray table, you can see that we are decreasing about 11,000 million pesos, and this is a reflection again because some administrative expenses that we didn't have this year, and on the other hand, some disinvestments that we made during 2017, and which do not have the same amount this year. Also, the net profit of the controlling or the holding company, the parent company, increased 0.9%. Next, I'd like for you to look at slide 10, in which we'll look at the highlights of Sudamericana. Firstly, we can see a positive operating dynamics, which is reflected with an increase of 8.3% in the technical result, which is a very good increase. Retained premiums decreased 4.2%, but without the provisional impact, it would really be an increase of 2.2%. We have negative effects for the premiums because of the currency devaluations, and as I said early on, because of the change in the methodology in health insurance premiums. This project, which was implemented for healthcare solutions, is based on in giving an equal treatment to the charge made to the customer. It's called premium equals charge, and it was done before on an annual basis. So we have adjusted the reserves and the requirements of capital at more consequential levels with what's needed by the company, creating a release of cash flow, which is close to 200,000 million pesos for the next 2 years. This new way of carrying out the production in health in Colombia does not have an impact on the losses nor the commissions or expenses in their nominal and their par values. So the indicators of premiums retained will be normal a year after implementing this change. Excluding the effects of the provisional and of health in the quarter, the segment of life has grown 13.4%. Overall, the company displays a lower retained loss from 55.5% to 54.3%, reducing 120 basic points thanks to the better ratios in P&C and life. Revenues from services rendered, we're talking the EPS health, grew 23.7% with a decrease in the cost ratio of 230 basic points. The company has continued its focus on efficiency, and the expenses overall have grown in a controlled way, 1.9%, which is quite below the growth that I mentioned in the technical result, which was 8.3%. Revenues from investments from the reserves have recovered some. They're decreasing 2.4% still. But during the third quarter, we observed a positive variation of 20.5%, which is basically due to the exposure to titles in foreign currency and the higher inflation in some countries, especially the life, which are indexed to inflation. The net income year-to-date of the company increased 0.5%, driven mainly because of the 33.2% growth in the quarter's net income, which is quite good for the company. Also, I'd like to mention several subsequent events which have taken place after the closing of the quarter. The first one is the declaration of hyperinflation in Argentina, which you did not see it in the figures as of September, but it will have a negative impact of 20,000 million pesos. We will see that in the fourth quarter of this year. Likewise, I'd like to mention that we have completed the regulatory approval process for the acquisition of Suda Asset Management's life insurance company in Mexico by Sudamericana. So these are two events that took place after closing the quarter. And lastly, I'd like to mention the company's profitability. But for the third quarter, it's ROE, adjusted ROE, at 13.2% and adjusted ROTE of 17.7%. This for the last 12 months. Next, Ricardo Jaramillo will explain closely the results, the financial results of Sudamericana. Thank you, David. Now let's move on, please, to slide 11, in which we'll see the statement of comprehensive income of Sudamericana. Let's begin with operating revenues, in which you can see that for the third quarter, they reached 9.2 billion pesos, up 1.8%. And if we excluded the effect of not participating in the provisional business, it would have grown 7.1%. On the other hand, you can see on the right-hand side of slide, different indicators. Let's look at claims plus reserves. Here you can see that there's an improvement of almost 427 basis points in losses because of the control we've had of different lines, especially for general, and also the impact of not participating in the provisional business that we've mentioned before, especially because of losses and lower reserves. When it comes to service rendered, costs over revenues, there's an improvement of almost 234 basis points on the indicator, showing the good dynamics and higher growth of revenue than in cost. Then we can look at the technical result, which is reaching 1.7 billion pesos, up 8.3%, and that figure has reached 18.4% of the operating revenues of the company with an improvement of 111 basis points. Administrative expenses, which is a percentage of the operating revenues, displays a controlled growth of 1.9% aligned, as David said, because of the efficiency focus. Here you can see a growth of 2.4%. And also an investment income, although in the third quarter, because of titles indexed to foreign currencies, we had a performance that was positive. When it comes to taxes, you can see a growth of 9.3%, which is aligned with the operations and dynamics of the companies, although in 2017, we had, especially in general, a return. Moving on to slide 12, you can see the consolidated figures of Sudamericana S.A. And you can see here that the company reached almost 394,000 million pesos to the third quarter, which is up 0.5%, which is indexed because of lower contribution because of life business, which grew 16.6%, and we'll be explaining later on a positive index section of life and the business of health, which grew 103%. And the segment of corporate, as you can see on slide 12, contributes what is reflected, the control of expenses, lower interest paid, and good management of taxes. Moving to slide 13, here you can see the life insurance segment. As I told you, the profit dropped 16.7%. The segment really reached less than 2017 to show the technical results, which grew 10.6%, which reached 46,000 million pesos of contribution. Although there's an increase of the premium, 7.8%, which reflects that the non-participation of the provisional business that we told you before. So when we standardize this process, we can reach the 12.9%. With regards to administrative expenses, again, we have made efforts reaching 27,000 million. And also, we can see a decrease from year to date of 8.6%, but also of the investment income, especially because of the long position we have in dollars. Moving on to slide 14, you can see in detail the non-life segment. And we'd like to highlight that the net profit reached 110,000 million pesos, up 15.8% versus the 106,000 displayed in 2017. Retained premiums grew 8.1% year-to-date and 15.8% in the quarter. Looking at it in constant exchange rates, reflecting a positive operating performance in different countries. The combined ratio improved 60 basis points, reaching 105%, despite the negative impact of the third quarter due to an increase in loss ratio. The investment income as of September reached an increase of 8%, driven by the quarter results, 38% due to higher returns in Colombia, the devaluation, Argentina, higher inflation and higher rates, and Chile, lower interest rates. As to others, this is explained by what we said before, a higher income tax in an amount and reaching what we had to pay of 38,000 million in 2017. Slide 15 shows you the healthcare segment, which has displayed good dynamics in recent quarters, and by the third reached 60,390 million pesos, up 103.1% compared to 2007 figures. Revenues grew 20.5% as of September, up 12% in the number of affiliates of the EPS. Affiliates reached 3 million and continue growing with the complementary care plans, 64%. As to the technical result, it grew 23.5%, 62,000 million pesos more. And then we can see the administrative expenses that grew 49.5% with a net income growth of 103.1%, driven by operating performance and control in administrative expenses, especially to do back the service and the good revenues and the good number of new affiliates that we have. Remember, in EPS, it's one of the most efficient companies that we have, and its services rendered at 21.8%. Moving on to slide 17, we look at the highlights of Suda Asset Management. Firstly, total assets under management of Suda Asset Management added up to 412.8 billion pesos, up 7.5%. And the number of customers, total customers, reached 19.8 million people, up 3.6%. In mandatory pensions, we have assets under management for 363 trillion pesos and 17.9 million customers in voluntary, We have assets under management of 49.9 billion pesos with 1.3 million customers. You can observe also positive growth dynamics of SURA Asset Management. Fee and commissions income by the third quarter grew 7.5%. For mandatory, the growth was 6.6%, and for voluntary, 15.1%. Net income of the company grew 7.7%, despite the decrease in revenues from the legal reserves, which was minus almost 65%, below the yield that was displayed in 2017. And also the equity method decreased almost 26% for the same reasons related to the Protección case. Cifores, managed by Afores Sur in Mexico, obtained the rating of the Morningstar Silver, which is the highest granted in 2018 to the Mexican Cifores. This is a very important achievement. Let's talk about some subsequent events of Sur Asset Management. We have received the approval to split off the annuities business assets in Chile. And there is an accounting impact of this situation that will be explained ahead in the next slide. Likewise, I'd like to tell you that the government has presented to Congress the Chilean pension reform proposal. This reform was presented with urgency, and it should be kept for the proceeding of so that the approval can be made as quick as possible. The aspects that we can highlight of this proposal is the increase in contributions quoted from 10% to 14%, which we believe is a step, a proper step, if we want to improve the rates and for people to have better pensions. We have to increase contributions. And this 4% increase would contribute to that, although it could still fall short if compared to other countries in which contributions reach up to 20% of salaries. It's also important to mention that in this proposal, in addition to other things, the government has proposed to increase the base. Before, it was 0.8% of GDP and moving it to 1.2%. This was proposed by the government. So as this project or this bill in Chile evolves, we'll inform you whatever is approved. But overall, we can say that the bill for the Chilean pension reform is well targeted, and we hope that the approval in Congress is given. Lastly, the profitability of the company, we have an adjusted ROE of 8.7%, adjusted by intangible amortizations, and the ROTE, excluding the goodwill and intangibles of the equity, is 31.1%. Showing the profitability of the operations. Next, Ricardo Jaramillo will give you a closer explanation of the financial results of SURA Asset Management. On slide 18, as David just said, in subsequent events, I'd like to give you more details related to the divestment of the annuities business in Chile. On March 7, 2018, we announced a sales agreement of the life annuity business with Visa Corp for $232 million. It was a good business at 1.36 value in books. And it was anticipated that we could have an accounting impact on October 30th there was an approval from the Chilean regulator to split off the life annuities business from Seguro de Vida Sura. So the assets are available. So having, again, the approval of the regulator, the company, can move on to Visa Corp, which is a buyer. When it comes to the strategic and economic rationale, first of all, it's part of the portfolio optimization strategy focusing on profitability and allocating capital towards strategic businesses. As we said before, the value of transaction of $232 million at 1.36 multiple, the book valuable multiple in local accounting is rational for the market. Total investments in the business, including capitalizations and seed capital, amounted to $145 million, generating an IRR of 15.3% in Chilean pesos or 18.6% in Colombian pesos. I'd like to highlight here that this operation had a consolidated ROE lower than the cost of capital and did not contribute significantly to the dividends of Suda Asset Management. Again, this transaction will have an accounting impact without an effect, and once the spinoff is made and the transfer of the assets and liabilities is made to the buyer, to Visa Corp, we will have an effect in Grupo Suda of 128,000 million pesos. So this effect is from the effect from the local effect and the IFRS equity, especially in two items. First, in investment properties. In local equity, investment properties have to be accounted at cost, while in IFRS equity, it should have commercial appraisal. So there's a difference there, significant between both items. And when it comes to technical reserves, particularly everything has to do with mortality tables. For local equity, we have to continue the local regulatory mortality tables, while in IFRS, we have the Grupo Sura's mortality tables used throughout the different countries. So the difference between the local equity and IFRS equity in the transaction is merely accountable and will have effect in the net profit, but the transaction, through economic and strategic viewpoint, is very good for Grupo Suda. Also, it's important to keep in mind that these impacts are not reflected in the third quarter, but instead in the fourth quarter of this year. Also, it depends of when the transfer of the assets will be made for the buyer, because it's possible that this effect will be seen in 2018 and the other part in 2019. Let's move on, please, to slide 19, where we see the consolidated figures of Suda Asset Management. First, we'll look at the operating income, which reached 1.6 billion pesos, decreasing 1.6%, and in local currency, 1%. And mainly, as you'll see in the top right-hand side graph, because of the reserves that we've had in prior quarters, and it has to do with the development of the capitals in the market. So in this graph, you can see how commission income contributes 94,000 million pesos, with a variation in local currency of 7.5%, how the equity method of protección, also affected by the reserve of the company, decreased 25.9%, almost 26%, and how the encaje reserve return has affected the company by 116,000 million pesos. Looking at the operating expenses of the company, these reached 1.1 billion pesos, up 1.6%. And this shows also our focus on having controlled expenses. When we look at selling expenses, you can see in the graph there's an increase of 6.2%. When we look at the administrative expenses, also there's an improvement of 300 basic points influenced. And it's important to highlight because of non-recurrence that we had in 2017. And the operating earnings decreased 6.2%, reaching 470,000 million pesos, impacted mainly by what we've discussed before, the contribution of the return during the first 9 months of the year. But if we standardize that reserve during the first 9 months of the year, the operating earning of the company would grow 1.2%. Moving on to slide 20, we observe the consolidated figures of Suda Asset Management. As I told you before, we're reaching 480,000 million pesos in net income, up 15.7%. It has a negative impact on the mandatory, which we'll see closely, and it's more related to what we talked about, the reserve of 62,000 million pesos, a positive voluntary contribution, as well as a negative contribution from the annuities, which is about to be finished by the company. But if we look at the corporate segment per se, where you can see the reflection, the impact, operating expenses, wealth tax, interest, and others, here you can highlight that all these items, there's a contribution of almost 116,000 million pesos, which kind of compensates these reserves and allow us to reach the 15.7% growth. So on slide 21, you can see closer the mandatory pensions business. It's reaching by the third quarter a profit of 655,000 million pesos, decreasing 8.2%. And this decrease is mainly impacted by two things. One, something very positive from the revenue, where you can see AUMs reaching almost 363 trillion pesos, up 6.6%, and a positive net flow reaching 6.5 trillion. A salary base that grew almost 5.7%, highlighting Peru and Protección in Colombia, which have very good positives above inflation, which gives us commissions above inflation of 6.2% and 6.3% in the quarter. And when it comes to the negative side, we can see on the yield and also in the return on encaje column, you can see 37,000 million pesos here. Also, you can see on the top right-hand side of slide 21, you can see that there are positive encajes or reserves. And on the bottom right, how the EBITDA, which reached 900,000 million pesos, if we excluded the encaje or the reserve, it would be 840,000 million, up 3.7% in this segment. On slide 22, we will see the voluntary savings business. Remember, this business is divided into two: voluntary savings, which is retail, and investment management, which is more institutional. Both businesses added up today have grown with AUMs 15%, reaching 50 billion pesos. In this segment, we've shown the good dynamics of the previous quarters. And when these AUMs are divided by both business lines, in investment management, we total 33 billion, up 16.7%, while in AUMs, voluntary savings, it reaches a growth of 12.3%, and that the different countries present growths that are very positive as well. We have to be clear. If we eliminate, we have to eliminate 10 billion in assets that are duplicated in both businesses, institutional and the voluntary. Well, really, the voluntary is a client of the investment management. When we look at the graph on the bottom left, commission income, you can see that the income from commissions in this business has reached $170,000 million, up 15.1%, and it displays in almost every country good growth dynamics, excluding perhaps Colombia. Also, we'd like to highlight that we've been working hard on enhancing the value proposal. In 2018, we've launched 12 new products, and it's a line which in total we have been investing a lot in recent years. The contribution or the operating result of this line has been improving versus last year. The improvement is about 9,800 million pesos. So with this, we end the details of the different slides, and we invite you to our Q&A session. Thank you. As of now, we will begin the Q&A session. We will begin receiving the questions verbally in our Spanish session. For those that are in the English session or connected only by web, please send us your questions through the platform, and later we will be reading them. For those on the Spanish line, please, if you have a question, press star followed by one. If you want to remove yourself from the list, please press pound. Remember, if you have a question, press star followed by one. We have a question from Catalina Ortiz from Grupo Sura. You may begin. Good morning. Thank you for the call. My name is Catalina Ortiz, and I am from Da Vivienda, not from Grupo Sura. I have two questions, one quick. Now you were explaining to us the sale of the annuities business in Chile. Do you have any more details about the completion of this operation or why this is still underway? And second, my question has to do with the law of financing. Have you assessed the proposal and the impacts this could have for Grupo Sura? I know that it's quite early to identify any impact because the debates haven't even begun, but I would like to know what's your first impression with the tax on dividends and if you estimate that this will have any impact on Grupo Sura. And everything has to do with the contribution to the voluntary pensions, which now they're saying that they won't be as high for individuals. So those are my questions. Thank you. Okay. When it comes to the annuities business in Chile, let's let Ricardo Jaramillo reply and provide you an explanation on that, the current status of this, especially the approvals, which would complete this process. With regards to the law of financing, well, there are many things, many ways of seeing it. We've been analyzing the entire proposal, which is quite strong, both in pensions, in which we have the incentives for savings lost. We've had discussions with the Minister of Treasury, Aso Fondos, and it's possible that there are changes here, but it's quite premature since this has to be debated in Congress, and it's just beginning. I mean, yesterday we just began the debates of this reform. When it comes to insurance, there are also impacts with topics related to the extension of the yields of the reserves of life insurance and our workers' compensation. But anyways, we have a constitutional back We're constitutionally backed. Really, this has more to do with constitutional facts, but the taxing of the indemnizations of life insurance is something delicate. And as you mentioned, the dividends, which also we have here, our tax advisor, Juan Guillermo Chica, can explain to you everything has to do with the dividend. So let's begin with Ricardo, who will talk about the annuities business in Chile, and then Juan Guillermo will talk about the dividends. Perfect. Thank you. Hello, Catherine. Let me tell you about the transaction of this annuity business. Once we signed the transaction, we needed three approvals. One from the Fiscalía of Chile, which looks at the competition. That approval has been given. And after that approval, we needed the second one, which was to receive Suda Asset Management, everything that was the way to transfer our assets. That approval was also received last week, which we announced on October 31st. So once the assets were available to give them to the buyer, we have the third approval, which is it? The buyer is approved to buy the company. Now, Visa Corp has made the request. It's underway. So we're in the hands right now of the regulator of Chile. So that's why we're saying that right now, by materializing the decision, our operations are in our discontinuous lines, which we'll look at the fourth quarter. And if we receive the third approval that's pending during 2018, it won't appear in our financial statements next year, but if this is done in January, we will materialize the entire process. This is where we're standing. It's been long, but again, it's been three approvals. And I think that according to the first two and what's happened to the first two approvals, the third one will come away soon. So now let's talk about the dividends with Juan Guillermo. Right now we're just analyzing the impact of the law of financing, but let's discuss this. Good morning. Well, firstly, I want you to understand that this new tariff of a tax on dividends is not observed as a tax that's in addition to what we already tax on dividends, especially for individuals and for corporations that do not reside in Colombia. Instead, they're anticipating the collection of dividends headed by the first corporation that receives a dividend, because after the corporation pays the 5% dividend, when it redistributes the dividend, it can be subtracted from the rate that was given on the individual, meaning really this is anti-deferring the dividend until the individual receives the dividend. It's a quicker collection made by the state of the dividends. Although this regulation may be perceived as something negative, it also has something positive, and it's for the holding companies in Colombia when they have investments overseas, because these dividends that they perceive from overseas can be considered exempted, and when distributed, the beneficiary will pay that tax on the dividend. As we've said before, the regulation is still incipient. It's still just beginning, because we don't have a clear procedure of that flow of dividends when there are several corporations and how to transfer that tax between corporations until the money is in the hands of the individuals. Dante? Yes. Thank you. Ricardo, I'd like to ask you as well, have you determined yet the use of the $230 million? I mean, before you said it would be to pay debt, but I don't know if you have more clarity in Grupo Sura of what to do with that money. Well, the idea, Catherine, with that money is to distribute it to reduce part of the debt, but also more importantly, to use it with the CapEx, with the projects that are enhancing our different businesses. So that money will be used for that mainly. Do you have a proportion to pay the debt of that total amount, 50-50? We're determining that because right now, looking at the budget, but I would say it would be about half and half, 50-50. Okay, perfect. Thank you so much for your answers. We have a question from Stephanie Mosqueda from Credit Corp. Yes, hello. Good morning. Thank you for your presentation. My question is basically related to Suramericana, specifically in the third quarter. You can see that the net reserves had a positive effect on the P&L. Could you please explain that? Okay, Juan Fernando Uribe from Suramericana will give you his reply. Stephanie, thank you for your question. That positive effect of the net reserves of production has to do with what we've been discussing during this time, and it's the effect of leveling the production with healthcare, meaning this leads us to release the reserves that we already had when we had production on an annual basis, and we had to create it with non-income premiums pending collection, because that policy was paid on a monthly basis. But now when we have production is equal to charge, it's right now we're leveling the production with what the customer is paying, and we don't need the reserve. So right now we are still releasing those reserves. That's basically why during the quarter and the year we'll continue to see this, until we have the 12 months that elapse, and after the 12 months, we can normalize the situation. I would like to compliment what Juan said, mentioning that this is very positive because we can release very important working capital for the company, which is aligned with assigning capital efficiently. And it's also a restriction for the solution because we continued with the previous system, and we had an important demand of having the reserves and to aim towards the 12. So we didn't have the money, but we had to allow the 12-month period elapse. And this has been growing significantly for the life segment in Colombia. And we had to take this decision. Okay, thank you so much. So you could say that it's possible that the net reserves for the year will close positively? Yes, you're right. To the point that we have just begun this in the second half of the year, of July 1st, we started to make the change as to how we accounted the solution. So it will be for these 6 months and the first 6 months of next year where we'll see the effect of the release of reserves. Okay, thank you so much for your answer. Next question from Daniel Wandiola from DTH. You may begin. Good morning. I am from BTG Pactual. I have a couple of questions. One, on capital allocation and portfolio structure. And I'd like to know a bit, in what sectors and in what countries is the group interested increasing its capital allocation or redistribution, like we already saw that you got out of the Chilean annuity business. And also, what is the return that the group expects from these new capital allocations? Also, I'd like to ask about the Chilean pension reform. Could you give us more details of the positive impacts on the mandatory and voluntary segments? Okay, Ricardo will answer the first question, and Carlos Oquendo will expand on the pension reform of Chile. Okay, good morning, Daniel. When it comes to capital allocation, we've been working with different businesses to clearly understand that we do have different businesses, different countries, and different sources or availability of resource to invest. When it comes to the business in Sudamericana, after acquiring RSA, we have been distributing the capital to develop the capabilities related to enhance the businesses in different countries, to develop channels, etc., and to begin the life business in which we're investing in technology and capabilities so that organically we can grow in both businesses. Inorganically, the company right now has no priority in terms of a business line, but one of the main objectives is to deepen in life in different countries to expand in general in life, keeping in mind that we are very strong in life in Colombia. And with Suda Asset Management, the priority is aimed to enhance the voluntary business for retail and investment management. Today, the company, about 90% of the company is in mandatory, and the idea is to build the capabilities, organic and inorganic, in the voluntary segment to have a balance of both businesses, because there's a huge potential to do it. When we see this in terms of countries, right now 83% of our capital is in the Pacific Alliance, 12% in Central America, and 3-4% in Mercosur. And our intention is to continue enhancing our position in the Pacific Alliance. It's not that the others are undermined, but really our priority is to be a major player in that segment. As to your second question with regards to returns, our expected returns or rates from the different businesses are different, and each have their capital costs that are indexed to the remuneration or payment of employees in each country. Overall, at Grupo Suda, we have a capital cost of 11%, but when you look at what we charge in El Salvador or Chile, clearly there are differences related to the risk of the business and of the country. So we have tables that show us what we should demand from each project, understanding that this is connected to a profitability project, which, as we've told the market, the idea is that by 5 years to have a growth of value generated above 100 or 200 basic points of our capital costs. Okay, Daniel, with regards to the tax reform in Chile for provisional, well, we value the message that was given in Congress, because really the reform has lost drive in time, and we hope that this urgency remains. We believe that this will include women, the middle class, and the pension people as something that's important to improve in this reform. There are items that the government will be covering through subsidies and supporting, especially those that are retired, Other employers also will take over some other items. So there are different components of the business that are involved, and we see this well. Something else is that there's an acknowledgement that the 10% contribution is quite low. So for us, it's good to increase it by 4%. And this will be a gradually made. However, we believe that 14% will fall short. And from our viewpoint, what we should tend to is towards a 20% contribution rate, as in the other countries of the region. That 4% increase in what we discussed initially about the law, when it comes to the AFPs and other companies of the financial sector, will have the chance of managing those resources. We in Chile not only have the AFP, but also have insurance and funds businesses. So in any of these businesses, we can manage those resources. So that's the main thing today. We will be looking at the development of the proposal in Congress, but overall, we are optimistic about this proposal that has been presented in Chile. Thank you very much for your answer. Allow me to give you a follow-up question. Do you believe that the mandatory business will be complicated after the reform? And do you believe that this could create a pressure to lower the fees in Chile? Daniel, I believe that the pressure to lower fees is not only there, it's everywhere. And we have been preparing for that for some time now. As you've seen in our reports, administrative expenses of mandatory have been reduced, and we've been preparing so that won't have an impact on our margins. I even believe that in many cases, we will be decreasing the rates or the fees of the commissions without a law that forces us to do it, because we've got to be competitive, and that's why we've been very careful with our administrative expenses. Thank you. Okay. We have no further questions in audio. Okay. If there are no more questions for now, this ends our teleconference. Again, we'd like to thank you all for joining us. And please remember that you can contact our Investor Relations Department if you have any more questions. Thank you, and have a good day. Thank you all. This completes today's teleconference. If you would like to listen to it again, it's available on the website of the company. Thank you for attending. You may hang up.